You're listening to Extra Time Radio.
David Goss is in my house. I will not let him sit on the furniture.
No.
He's sitting on the floor right now. Yeah. He doesn't get to have a chair anymore.
That's what I'm willing to do.
Hat trick for Deuce. 2 hat tricks in 4 games.
Are you watching the games? Are you just looking at the stats? Modgepodge.
Hodgepodge?
Hodgepodge.
Modgepodge.
Yeah, there's a Modgepodge. Whole Modgepodge of rumors.
This is a transfer Modgepodge.
It is an ungodly mess.
Yeah. I'm just trying to think about what I want to say.
That's why he's here!
Oh, from New York, New York. You are listening to Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXMFC Channel 85. I am Andrew Wiebe. With me in the blue room, David Goss. And out in the octagon, Matt, the armchair analyst, Doyle. It's Thursday, baby. We're back. We're hanging out. And we were delighted when we woke up this morning to some epic hot take hotline jingles, just general takes. What else? Dave, this was a bumper crop. It was a treasure trove. It was other related cliches to nice gifts that you get on a morning when you check into a Google hotline.
There was also the guy who called 5 times in 5 minutes at 2:45 a.m. to say Jacob Peterson should start over Hector Villalba and was barely able – you could barely understand him all 5 times. And I'm pretty sure all 5 were read off the same script or something happened.
Oh, that's magic.
So on top of your bumper crop, there was also the Kwame Brown in the draft.
Yeah, definitely. Well. I think what probably happened to that guy is he probably listened to a bunch of ETRs in a row. And we probably talked about Kellen Acosta a lot and some other of Doyle's favorites. He had to take a lot of drinks. He got a little tipsy, hit the hot take hotline. Yeah, no, not
I don't
a good
know.
Theory.
It sounds like you're trying to spread blame around.
Yeah, maybe so, maybe so. We have a big show coming up for you. Michael Parkhurst, the captain of Atlanta United, is going to jump on with us and talk about that new training facility, those designated players, Tata Martino, everything that's going on down there in A-Town. Kevin Baxter of the LA Times is also going to join us. It's our second straight show with a Kevin, which we're very proud of. Monday, it was Kevin Kincaid to talk about the Union and their troubles. Today, Kevin Baxter is going to give us the inside look at what's going on with the Galaxy. And, of course, you already know it, the Hot Take Hotline. We've got a jingle from a celebrity, too. I just want to throw that out there. So stick around for the third segment. Let's jump right in because Friday night is going to be a blast. We haven't had a ton of Viernes de Football this year, and this isn't technically Viernes de Football. I mean, not in the Unimas sense. Toronto FC are hosting the Houston Dynamo on Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, TSN and MLS Live. Great game, Dave. Best player in the league is playing in this game.
Yeah.
Of course, Albert Elise. Yeah. That's who that player would
For sure,
be.
Obviously.
Also, Sebastian Giovinco, if you like that guy. I mean, this to me is.
You think Giovinco asks to trade jerseys with Elise?
Yeah, does he maybe he just goes into the locker room before the game
just
and asks
bows
for that.
Down
right.
a little bit on the
I
field.
Don't know.
That's pretty exciting.
This one's
stuff.
Got 8 goals written all over it. I hope.
Yeah,
I
no, this one, if this isn't a high scoring, insane game, then there are no soccer gods anymore.
Yeah, no, I'm with you on that one.
That's my take.
Yeah,
that's all
that's
I got.
It? That's all you got?
Well, what do you need me to say?
I don't know. We already established Albert Elise is the best player in MLS. Doyle, how about bring us down to earth, Doyle. Bring us right back down to earth. I mean, this is going to be kind of a clash of styles. You have a straight-up counterattacking team in the Dynamo that I got to imagine are going into shell mode against this attack. They have a chance. I mean, this is an opportunity for them.
They do have – I mean, it's MLS, so everybody's got a chance no matter what, right? But it's going to be interesting because the Dynamo the past couple of weeks have gone to a 4-4-2 diamond to stay a little bit more compact and get a little more pressure to the ball through midfield. But in doing – anytime you play the diamond, you're going to give up the flanks. And we've seen repeatedly over the last couple of years that Steven Betashore on the right, Justin Morrow on the left, both get forward to good effect and they will pull you wide. The interesting thing, of course, is that Justin Morrow is no longer left wing back in that 3-5-2. He's playing in central defense, and it's the kid, Raheem Sterling, who's been very, very
Edwards. Hype train. Woo, woo.
Raheem Edwards. Raheem Sterling is not playing in MLS.
Raheem Edwards, sorry.
I mean, he's basically Raheem Sterling.
Better.
That is a hot take.
Better end product. They've been fun to watch. I think that what we saw last week was a little bit of TFC shaking the rust off finally and playing the way that we sort of expect them to play, and that should be a lot of trouble for Houston.
Well, I think Chicago was a tough matchup because they want to dominate the ball in midfield. That's how they create opportunities. They didn't get that chance. This Houston team doesn't care about the ball, and that's what's exciting for me is you look at these attackers and you're assuming you're going to start three of the five, as we now know that they have, and they're going to be able to have chances to go one-on-one with a Zavaleta, with a Haglin, with Morrow playing as a left center back. They have to be licking their lips at that chance. So I think it should be a game where TFC gets great opportunities by spreading the field out and dominating in the attacking half, and then Houston should get a lot of good looks on the counter.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one. Friday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern, TSN and MLS Live, Toronto FC and the Houston Dynamo. Talking about center backs here, the Rapids are rapidly running out of center backs. That was their strong point last year with Schuberg and Watts. Courtney Ford is suspended for this one. You're asking yourself who Courtney Ford is. I mean, that kind of tells you where this team is at right now as far as injuries.
Nice.
I'm not saying he's not good.
No,
I'm not saying he's not good.
Pretty good, actually.
Yeah,
come
I'm not
on,
saying
we,
he's not.
Wow.
I'm just saying you got to be that, like, super MLS nerd to have that one off the drop, which, you know, maybe our listeners are probably certainly that. They're going to Orlando where people don't win. That's Saturday, 3:55 Eastern, Unimas, Facebook, and MLS Live. So hit the Facebook stream for that one. It's free for you if you follow MLS on the Facebooks. Look, there's trouble in the back for Colorado, but Orlando, man, 5 wins out of 6. They don't lose in front of the wall. Doyle, this team, is it fool's gold right now, or is this for real? Is this a team that in 4 months will be saying, oh, yeah, you don't go to Orlando and win?
I don't think they're going to, you know, keep chugging along with 5 wins and 6, but I think this team is also not going to go away. They've shown the ability to lock it down and to back. They have a match-winning goalkeeper, which certainly helps, and they have two forwards who are working well together, even though Carlos Rivas still can't score. He opens up space for Kyle Larin, and you only need one or two goals a game if things are working like that. So I don't personally think that Orlando City are one of the best teams in the league as of yet, but I also don't think that this is entirely a fluke for what they've done the first 2 months.
We talk about it every week. So Kyle Larin, rumors that there was a couple Bundesliga teams that were watching him last weekend. So those rumors will continue.
They
That's
will
all
continue.
I'll say about that.
Borussia Mönchengladbach is the most recent. I mean, they're pretty good. They're not bad. They're nearer at the top of the Bundesliga just about every year. Might be a good spot for him to land. Remember, watch that one on Facebook, Unimas and MLS Live. Saturday, 3:55 p.m. Or, you know what, just call it 4 p.m. Orlando City and the Colorado Rapids. Colorado trying to get out of the basement. This is a team that – I don't know, Rapids fans. Rapids Rabbi, maybe hit us up on the Hot Take Hotline, 401-206-0MLS. I mean, are you guys really going to go second in the league to the bottom? What's going to go down here? A lot of questions to be answered for Colorado. There are questions for Atlanta, but right now most of them are getting answered. They take on DC United. They're back home, finally, at Bobby Dodd on Sunday. This is your one game on Sunday, so mark it down. Make sure the kids are occupied. Make sure whatever you have to do to watch this game. 3 p.m. Eastern, FS1, Fox Deportes, and MLS Live. But we got Michael Parkhurst, the captain of the squad, on the phone. Follow him on Twitter, MF Parkhurst. Michael, what's up, man?
It's going well. It's going great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And I got to start you with the training facility. I'm in love with it. It looks like MLS Shangri-La. It looks like just soccer. Shangri-La, are you there now? Or are you hanging? Do you live there? Have you switched addresses? I mean,
I spend as much time here as possible. I'm actually sitting outside of our meal room right now, overlooking the fields, and they look beautiful.
That's the second floor, right? That's like the overlooking. You know, you have
exactly.
Yes, the patio. That's very important as far as real estate goes. Tell us about the bells and whistles, because I look at the photos. And it sparkles. It comes through the computer screen and it just sparkles.
Yeah, I mean, they thought about everything. You know, they didn't miss any details. The locker room is beautiful. The weight room is fantastic. You know, great space in there. The big door opens up into the training ground, so you can open that door up and push the bikes out. So, you know, hopefully I'm not on one of those bikes while the team is training, but if ever somebody is, then, you know, they can watch training while they're getting their rehab in. And, you know, when I'm done with this phone call, I'm going to go inside and enjoy a delicious hot meal that the chefs can make us back there in the kitchen. So, you know, they take really good care of us here, and, you know, extremely fortunate.
How much does it matter in the day-to-day for a player? How much do these – because you hear all the time – you know, oh, I was impressed by these facilities. It was part of the reason I wanted to go to a specific team. How much does it really affect the production on the field?
I think considerably. You know, there's certain facilities where, you know, that you visit as a visitor or that you've been a part of, or, you know, you hear from other guys that then it's not as welcoming. And when it's like that, guys get in and get out as quick as possible. And, you know, it's different here. I get here as early as possible in the morning so I can enjoy a nice breakfast and relax a little bit. It gives me ample time to get stuff done in the gym before training, after training, take your time, enjoy a nice meal. You know, bonding with guys over meals, that type of thing. They make it so that you want to be here. And, you know, as a professional, you should want to, you know, be as good as possible and work on the field and stuff like that. But it does make a difference day to day. You really enjoy going to work when, you know, your workplace is something like this.
So we have a new coffee machine here at MLS, and that's one of our little perks. You get espresso anytime you want it. What is the thing that people wouldn't think about with this training facility that you found yourself enjoying, or that you were like, wow, they thought of that? I never would have thought of something like that in a training facility.
We have a barber's chair outside of our in our bathroom, sort of in between like the showers and the stalls, so that barber Kenwin Jones can do his work on guys, or we can bring in a barber if guys want one.
Do you trust Kenwin with locks? Do you trust Kenwin with your locks, or are you going elsewhere? You flying people in like Eddie Johnson?
Neither. You know, I cut it really short, and then I wait as long as possible before I can get another one, so I don't have to frequent the hairdresser as much as these guys. You know, some of the guys on the team are getting their hair cut once a week or once every 2 weeks, and I don't have time for that or the desire. But to be fair, Kenwin does cut a bunch of the guys' hairs on the team, and he might take an hour to an hour and a half to do it, but it usually does come out looking pretty good.
Kenwin Jones comes off as the type of guy of many talents, not just barbering and soccer. Like, every time I hear a story about this guy, he sounds like a superhero.
I tell you what, I think he shocked us all when he did that backflip in Montreal. I had just previously seen it on Twitter not too long before that game that he had that in his background there, but I thought maybe that time had passed. He's gotten a little older. I've never seen him do it in training or anything, and wow, that was impressive. So he is a man of many talents.
Come on, you don't bust out the backflip in training. You got to leave that for the game. Of course, you guys get back home now, which I have to imagine you're excited about. It's been a while out on the road. DC United this Sunday, 3 p.m. Eastern on FS1, Fox Deportes, and MLS Live up in Canada. For those of you who want to watch this extremely exciting Atlanta team, that's got to be not a relief, but just exciting. This week of training, feeling like, hey, we're back in the friendly confines. We're back in front of maybe 45,000 people. Those games look like a lot of fun, Michael.
Oh, absolutely. It's a huge benefit to playing here in Atlanta. I mean, the crowds are amazing. You know, and it makes a difference. It does. You know, whether of course a win is a win, but you have a lot more fun doing it when there's 45,000 people and it's a great atmosphere and they're pushing you on. And you know, it's, you know, different for me than what I'm used to. And so I'm really enjoying it. And you know, I think the team is as well. The fans here have really embraced us, and then you know, we're, you know, beyond words, you know, thankful for their support, because game days are a ton of fun, especially when everyone's been a sellout so far. So yeah, definitely, we're looking forward to getting in front of them again.
Take us through one of those game days, because we've heard a little bit about the unique parts of the Atlanta game day experience for players and for fans.
Yeah, currently, the first couple games, we stayed at a hotel the night before the game, and, you know, so, you know, we've got our normal, as if you were at an away game, as far as, you know, meals at the hotel, but, you know, the drive into the stadium is really cool, because, you know, the fans there end up flanking the buses we're coming in. There's usually, I don't even know how many is. It looks like upper hundreds, low thousands of people They're greeting us when we get off the bus, and they're loud, and you know, so right away, you know, you feel the love, you get psyched up for the game, and you know, the atmosphere once you're out there, even for warmups, you know, you just feel it, and you know, it's a lot of fun to play in front of, that's for sure.
So I'm wondering what the unique aspects are here. You mentioned it. I think this is your fourth team. You've been around. You've seen a lot of things. I mean, I'm looking at the golden spike, and I'm thinking to myself, come on, nobody miss that thing and, like, break a hand. But when you look at this market, just what are the unique things that you see or you hear or that have happened that you've thought, wow, that's never happened to me before?
That's a good question. You know, I think that, yeah, the golden spike is definitely a new thing for me. We all sign it as we're coming into the stadium there. And, you know, whoever is awarded man of the match, you know, then nails a spike into a certain place over by the supporters. I haven't had that opportunity yet, but maybe sometime. But, you know, different opportunities that you know, we've been able to have here, going to Braves games, going to Hawks games, you know, just really being embraced by the entire city, you know, different sports organizations, and you know, everybody seems to be excited about us and want to come see us and want to talk to us, you know, local radios and a lot of media, so you know, from that aspect, it's just exciting.
You've been in this league for a while. You've been around U.S. soccer for a while. What are the big questions you get from other players in MLS around the world when they're seeing what's going on in Atlanta? What are they asking about?
Yeah, they're curious. They're wondering, you know, what the facilities are like, how the club is. They're wondering, you know, how's training with Tata? What's that like? What's the language barrier like? Mostly those types of things, you know, how cool is it, you know, to play in front of those fans. You know, I think word has spread quickly around the league that, you know, this is a great place for players. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they have their pick of free agents, you know, every offseason.
What has it been like to work under Tata? What has the language situation been like? Of course, he's Spanish speaking, a large contingent of the team is. What's the experience been like in the locker room?
The locker room's been great. You know, we've got maybe four guys who don't speak English very well, but they're learning. They're taking classes, and but most importantly, they're good guys. They're just good people, and so you know, the language isn't too much of an issue when we're out on the field and we're off the field. You know, we've got a lot of bilingual guys on the team, and you know, everything can get translated. But you know, with Tata and the coaching staff as well, most of it is in Spanish. Tata will speak English every now and then, but it, you know, it's improving. But otherwise, it just takes a little bit more patience than the normal training sessions. And he says it in Spanish. You know, another coach will translate it into English. You know, we might have to see, you know, an extra demo. Usually the South Americans will demo whatever's going on. You know, and so training may take a little bit longer than usual, and it takes a little bit of patience, but, you know, it's worth it. You know, Tata has a plan for us, and, you know, we're still trying to execute that. You know, we don't think that we've grasped a hold of everything he wants us to do out on the field, and we're still learning that. The tactics of how he wants us to play, but the important part is we're picking up some results while we're learning.
3-2-2 right now. Atlanta is fourth in the Eastern Conference on 11 points. Michael, how's your Spanish? I mean, if they're learning English, shouldn't you do the other way around, like get a little bit Espanol going?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying, definitely. It's not as good as it should be, and I took it in school, and you know, wish maybe I had paid attention a little bit more and taken it a little bit more seriously.
Don't we
now.
All? Don't we all?
Yes. But, you know, having the background, there's definitely things I pick up. But when the Argentines speak to each other, it's slang. It's super fast. It's a little bit different than, you know, Spanish from other countries. So it's difficult to understand. You know, as compared to like when Greg Garza speaks Spanish back to them, you know, I can understand Greg a lot easier. But yeah, it's definitely something I'm working on and look at an opportunity to hopefully learn a lot more Spanish while I'm here.
I believe looking back in your time in MLS and then over in Europe, you've worked mainly under American, British, Scandinavian coaches. What's the experience been like working under a coach from a different soccer background, from a different point of view?
Yeah, it's been unique. You know, every coach has got their different style, their different tactics, the different way they do things. You know, everything from fitness to gym work to, you know, video, everything's different. And, you know, it's just about adapting. And, you know, I'm learning that there's always different ways to look at things, always different ways to do things. You know, and, you know, it's been a great opportunity for me to learn that and to experience this. You know, Tata is very intense and very passionate out on the field, but at the same time, he's a really good listener. He's a super nice guy, you know, willing to always talk to me and talk about ideas and things of that sort. So, you know, I'm trying to learn a lot, and he is as well, about the league and about American culture and, you know, for example, a little thing like is so different for him is when we go on an away trip, when we get to a hotel, it's not necessarily a complete lockdown where it would be in Argentina. You know, he's not used to that, where guys go out and grab a coffee after dinner or the day of a game if they want to go out for a walk. You know, that type of stuff was really new to him and hesitant at first, but, you know, it's a little give and take on both ends.
There was a lot of talk, Michael, about that MLS experience that you guys had, in particular kind of contrasting it with Minnesota United. And, you know, the Loons are starting to come back around, but I'm curious what exactly you've been able to bring or contribute or provide insight on. And it's not just you. You have Jeff Lorenowitz, you have Jacob Peterson. You know, there's a bunch of different guys with MLS experience and a lot of years of it. How do you bring that expertise, so to speak, within the league to bear on Tata and other players who don't have it?
Yeah, we're trying to help them out, you know, when we can. You know, MLS is such a unique league, as we all know, that, you know, it doesn't matter if a team is in last place or first place. There are no easy games. You know, every game presents its own challenges. You know, to win on the road is very difficult, you know, given all the circumstances around travel and time change and weather. You know, and some of those things you can't prepare guys for, you know, they just have to experience it themselves. But, you know, the foreign guys have been great in adapting and keeping an open mind, and really just going out there and focusing on what we have to do to win games. You know, when we play specific teams, you know, Jeff and I or Jake or guys that have been around the league a little bit, try and tell them, you know, what it might be like, you know, what the travel might be like, you know, what the field might be like, you know, those types of things. You know, but as far as on the field and then getting things done, you know, it's up to us individually and collectively. And, you know, guys have, you know, so far been up to the task.
Certainly Miguel Almirón, Joseph Martinez, Hector Villalba, just to name three, have been up to the task. You look at those stats, you look at the moments on the field anecdotally, these guys are special, and then they're also guys that the club spent a lot of money on, not just on salary, on transfer fee, which I'm sure that you, like me, saw and said, wow, this is a new MLS. What makes these guys so special? And when you see them in training and you have to defend them in training even, how are you going about it?
Yeah, I could tell early on in preseason that our attack was going to be fun to watch. You know, when these guys line up against me, you know, and other defenders in training, it's just difficult. Their movement is very good. They combine well. You know, Tito likes to stretch the field, you know, go one-on-one, you know, especially when Joseph is in there as well. His ability to stretch the field and constantly get behind the back line is a nightmare. You know, and Miguel, his vision is very good. He's also much faster than you think. And I think he might even be faster with the ball than he is without it. He just gets to another level. You know, but like I said, they're willing to put in the work. They're good guys. they understand that, you know, they haven't made it yet, that they need to still work hard, that this league is not a league where, you know, a number 10 or a number 9 can just sit there and do nothing defensively. You know, and that's, I think, also a benefit of having Tata as a coach, as a South American. He won't put up with it either. So, you know, we've got, you know, young, eager DPs, and, you know, that's exciting.
When you go into games, let's say, for example, last week RSL, the week before Toronto, or excuse me, Montreal, what are the questions that you're getting from them? What are specifically, what are you talking to them about?
Before we travel, I get, do I need to pack my studs? Is it a turf field or is it grass? That's usually the first question. I'll get that, or, you know, what's the weather over there like? You know, how's the atmosphere? You know, they just want to try and get an idea of what to expect, you know, at different places. You know, there hasn't been too many questions, I mean, about specific personnel or teams, how they play, because, you know, a lot of our guys are attacking players that are flowing, and, you know, it doesn't matter who they're playing against. They're going to go out there and attack how they want to attack and play how they want to play. You know, every now and then, if there's a special outside back or an outside back or a center back that, you know, has special talent or unique ability, then I might give them a heads up. But, you know, sometimes the less you know, the better. You just go out there and you do your own thing.
Who's the toughest forward matchup for you in this league? Or when you look around and you see matchups and you say, oh, that guy's got something unique that I'm going to have to deal with, who's the guy that either you hate going up against or just like to watch when you're not playing against him?
Yeah, I think that's probably a different player to those two questions because, you know, for me, obviously being an undersized center back, you know, it's difficult for me to play against the bigger guys. So Adi's difficult. You know, he's probably one that gives me some trouble just, you know, because of his sheer size and strength. I think that Piatti, even though he's not a number 9, I think he's probably the second best player in the league. And that's obviously behind Jovinko, who is a nightmare for any center back. You know, particularly when he drifts out to, you know, I'm on the right side. So when he drifts out that side and he's cutting inside on you, you know, and he lines up to shoot, if you don't try and block the shot, he's going to curl it far post. If you stick a leg out there to try and block it, he cuts it back to his left. And he's the worst to defend in space. You know, so he's fun to watch, I'd say.
Before we let you go here, Michael, we know you have stuff to do. There is stretching to be done, a meal to be eaten, of course, at that beautiful facility. Speaking of meals, just because I've always been interested in this question, I never managed to ask anybody. I'm giving you a night out. Let's say it's at the All-Star game. I'm giving you three spots at the dinner table. You've got to choose three people within MLS now, or you know what, I'll let you go back into the past as well, that you want to have dinner with. And it's got to be, you know, for conversational reasons or whatever. You know, you can choose the reasons, I guess. Who are you taking to dinner?
Stephen Keel is number one on the list.
Number one. Stephen Keel, he sits right in front of me. I get that every single day.
Steve and I go way back. High school together, college roommates. Stood up at my wedding, so definitely Steve's getting an invite.
Okay, Steve's one.
Who else is sitting at the table with us? Another one of my real good friends in MLS is Patrice Bernier. We became close when we played together in Denmark. He's a great guy. So he's coming to the table.
Okay, we've got Old Man Strength. We've got the Curls and Stephen Keel. And who's filling out our group here?
I don't know. I got a lot of friends at Columbus.
Who's someone, Mike, who's someone whose brain you'd want to pick that you don't know?
Brain I'd want to pick. That's a good question.
Pirlo's going to bring the red wine. I don't want to, like, push you anywhere.
You just pushed
me. Yeah.
He would be a good one. I'd hope that he'd pick up the check, too, so that's probably a good invite. if we're going to a nice place and all. Yeah, no, actually, you're right. I don't know how I didn't think about Pirlo, but just to talk about his experiences in soccer and different countries that he's played in, and you know, things that he's gone through and World Cups. You know, I guess Schweinsteiger now would fit that bill as well. You know, and you know, Schweinsteiger seems like a funny guy, a good guy as well, because you know, the Twitter and social media stuff he's been active on.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you guys are going to the MLS Cup. You think you have a shot at the World Cup?
I'm sorry, say it again.
I just said, you think, we'll just cut that one. I was trying to make a joke about the World Cup. I'm going to just wrap us up. We'll get you out and get you back to training, okay?
All right.
All right, there it is. Stephen Keel, Patrice Bernier, and Andrea Pirlo. We'll talk a little bit more of this in a second, but the big game this Sunday, Atlanta, DC United, 3 p.m. Eastern on FS1, Fox Deportes, and MLS Live. All the coverage, where else? MLSsoccer.com. Michael, thank you so much for your time, man. Good luck. Have a good lunch there.
It's always my pleasure. You guys have a good day. I'm starving, so I'm ready to eat.
Big thanks to Michael Parkhurst for joining us and sharing his dinner guests. You've been rolling your eyes at me for the better part of the last 3 minutes,
you
Dave.
Pushed Pirlo on him, like, come on, let the guy make his own decision.
Well, he wasn't making it that quickly, and I thought Pirlo might be a nice suggestion.
Oh, that was real creative of you, Weeby.
Oh, okay, yeah,
just pick the whole
World Cup winners, no biggie. Which brings me to my bigger point. The whole reason I asked that question is because I wanted your guys' dinner list. You have three people, Doyle. Who are you inviting? Who are you hanging out with?
It's tough. Number one is going to be Alan Gordon because I feel like we could crush some beers, and I would like that. Number two, Darren Maddox, as long as I get to do the cooking.
Ooh, sorry, Darren.
But I want some, I love Jamaican jerk chicken, so I want some of those recipes. And number three, basically any Argentine, because I'm a steak guy, and I feel like they could maybe help me pick the right kind of steak, and give me some pointers from the homeland.
That's a lot of food. You're gonna be very full after that. There's gonna be a nap following that one. Dave, who are you coming with? Andrea Pirlo.
Nice.
Or?
That was way more thought out than mine, but it gave me some ideas. Obviously, Paul Motocaa was my number one.
Oh, good
potential
one.
That I would invite two other people who don't exist, just so it would just be me and Pop.
Oh, okay.
Number two would
just
be Justin Meerum.
One.
Yeah, for sure, exactly. Number two would be Justin Meerum, because then we could eat Iraqi food, and I could learn a bunch about playing for the Iraq national team, which sounds awesome. And number three would be Sebastian Legette, because he just seems like a fun guy.
DuBois?
Yeah.
Even despite the fact that we just had him recently on the show.
Yeah, and he was awesome.
Okay.
He was being hilarious,
right.
And we talked about the Power Rangers.
That's a good point. I'm going – well, then he got hurt, and – ETR curses and whatnot. Whoa, by the way, oh my God, if we have
cursed.
This for you, if these dinners happen, you might as well just, their careers are probably over. I'm just throwing that out there. I'm going Paolo Mascherini. I think you need the philosopher at dinner to just kind of keep things going. I think he would have a great flavor to him. I think I'm going to go Wilmer Cabrera as well. We talked to him in the preseason.
Oh,
he's
man.
A hilarious dude. I'm going two coaches, I know.
I wish I'd said Poppy.
I know, but like, Wilmer is just – I know there's more there, and he's such a fun guy. I feel like we could talk to him about Colombia back in the day, those World Cup teams. That would all be fun. And now I'm just trying to think of the right player to bring it all together and bring it out. And I think it's going to be –
Frankie.
I think it's – well, Frankie's a good call, but I need to go with a current player. I'm going to go Brad Evans because I think Brad could have a big breadth of experience. He spent some time with Frankie in Columbus, so maybe he can tell some Frankie Haddock stories. I also think his perspective would just be interesting, and he's a smart guy. He's a curious guy, so I wouldn't have to, like, carry the conversation with questions. I think he'd step in. Those are our dinner tables. Let us know who you think. Hit us up on the Hot Take Hotline. Email us. Tweet at us. 401-206-0MLS is the number. At Extra Time Radio on Twitter. Extra Time at MLSsoccer.com if email is more your thing. We're going to go to break right now. We come back. Kevin Baxter on the LA Galaxy and Dax McCarty returning to New York.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Hated to love it, the underdogs on top. And I'm going to shine, homie, until my heart stops. Go ahead, envy me.
I'm Raps MVP, and I ain't going nowhere, so you can get to just know back now on Extra Time Radio on MLSsoccer.com and SiriusXM FC Channel 85. I'm Andrew Wiebe. Of course, Dave Goss is next to me, and in the octagon, it's Matt the Armchair Analyst Doyle. We are rolling through the weekend, and there are some juicy storylines here, and I'm starting us in the Big Apple. More accurately, in Harrison, New Jersey, the Red Bulls taking on the Chicago Fire on Saturday night, 7:30 p.m. Eastern. MLS Live, Bastian Schweinsteiger, he's good, he's entertaining. You'll want to watch him. But, Doyle, this is all about one thing, and that's Dax McCarty's return to New York after that big trade and, let's face it, some hard feelings. How do you expect his reception to be, and what's his matchup look like?
I think that Red Bulls fans have sort of set a precedent over the years with returning heroes. Like, Mike Pecky got an ovation when he returned. Juan Pablo Angel got an ovation in his game back. I expect nothing different for Dex. I don't know if there's going to be TIFO for him. I think it would be appropriate if there was. But at the same time, this feels like a trade that's starting to work out for both teams. Dax has been great for Chicago, even though they struggled last week. And Tyler Adams, the last couple of weeks, I mean, he's starting to look the part. So I think the fans should be appreciative, but I think they should also understand that it's a business, and I'm sure you know Dax does. So
yeah, no doubt about that. This is one of those where I fully expect Dax to get one of those like full-length diving headers where you just think to yourself, how is it that this little guy in the middle of a pack gets on the end of a ball like this? I mean, this game is prime for some really interesting midfield matchups. I mean, this is where it's all going to be battled out. I mean, you've got Schweinsteiger, Juninho, and Dax. You've got Sasha, Tyler Adams, and Felipe. I mean, that's fun, Dave. That's fun.
Oh, it should be a good game. Also, remember, David Akam came back last game, so he has the ability to open up a little bit more space for Schweinsteiger to play underneath. They can play that long ball. It stretches the back line a little bit more. New York Red Bulls have looked better over the last few weeks. I think this is a good time for this matchup between these two.
Yep. Fun game. 7:30 p.m. Saturday night, MLS Live, no doubt about that one. Montreal Vancouver is starting the day, though. That's when at 3 p.m. Eastern, CTV, TSN, and MLS Live. This is one, Doyle. I look at this team, and I've got to be honest. I have, in the last week, just been watching the highlights and looking at the stats because I was in Mexico doing my
thing. Then let's interrupt you and let me ask two questions.
Yeah, hit it.
Doyle, Jackson Hamel, 3 goals in 1 week off the bench. Is there any chance this guy gets a start?
There's a chance, but he's been really good off the bench and a game changer. So why not keep using him in that role for another couple of weeks as long as you're getting results? And then if you have a game where you completely crap out offensively, maybe you make a change after that. But I think at this point, bring him in at the 55th minute, change the game, let him keep doing what he's been doing.
And when he comes in, it's more like he plays as a second striker. Is there any chance that they change their formation up, or is it just when he comes on, that's when you're trying to throw things forward?
I think it's more the second than the first. But Mauro Biello's, I think, a pretty decent coach, and I'd be surprised if he didn't have maybe a 3-5-2 or a version of a 4-4-2 in the bag, specifically to have Mancosu running off of Jackson Hamel, who's a really good hold-up player in addition to being a pretty decent poacher.
4 of the 5 coming up for Montreal are at home. That's good news for Impact fans. I look at Jackson Hamel and I think, like, how many other teams have these kind of homegrown guys who just never have gotten a sniff sitting on the bench, chomping at the bit, waiting for their opportunity? And also, are these goals indicative of what Jackson Hamel will be long-term? Could this guy be the guy who takes over from a Mancosu or pushes that guy out of the lineup? Because ultimately, that's what we want, right, from these homegrowns?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just that they come in and score some goals and get us all excited. It's that over a long period of time, they give guys like Mauro Biello no choice. You got to play this kid. It's going to be interesting to see how it works out for him. But the game's at 3 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. CTV, TSN up there in Canada. MLS Live here in the U.S. Maybe the best game of the weekend. Arguably one of the best games of the season, I would say, based on playoff matchups and everything else going on. Dallas hosting Portland. 8 p.m. Eastern on Saturday. That one's on MLS Live. Diego Valeri is out. That's a bummer. He's got that hip issue, but they expect him to be back. Jake Gleason is still out of this one, but Fernando Adia is back, so that's good. Also good, the Magic Unicorn, Doyle. Mauro Diaz. I'm trolling around on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter or one of these social media platforms, and I see a video from FC Dallas of Mauro running around on the field with a ball with other players, and my heart just starts to flutter. I know it's not going to happen soon, but, oh, God, just bring the man back.
It's much faster than I thought it would be, because usually Achilles injuries are the absolute worst. There's part of me that still doesn't expect to see Mauro Diaz until 2018. But, damn, it was nice to see him in those little clips running around and not looking like he's carrying such a horrible injury. So fingers crossed that by the end of the summer he gets out there for FC Dallas, because they're a better team and a more fun team when he can play.
Absolutely. Look, this game's at 8 p.m. It's a good game. It's a great matchup. You'll definitely want to watch it. Dave, I more want to talk about these renderings that I saw. This tells you a lot about what I've been up to.
Well, no, I'll tell you this. It's going to be better than the FC Dallas Sporting KC game was to watch. So this is one worth tuning in for.
Yeah, for sure. That game, I mean, I didn't watch it, but from all indications, it wasn't exactly the most thrilling.
How many times do you think we can get Weeby to admit he doesn't watch it?
I was in Mexico. What do you want from me? Look,
dedication.
Yeah, that's right. The dedication rankings, I'm near the bottom right now. But those renderings. The new 4,000 seats are going to potentially throw up in Portland, really bring that stadium together, kind of enclose it. I mean, I look at those and I start to drool, both for the Timbers as an organization, but just as someone who loves soccer. I mean, it's 100% self-funded by the club is what they're saying. That's money.
And every player that plays there says it's the best environment they've ever played in. People that come from overseas say it's one of the best soccer environments they've ever been to, and it'll improve it. There's no complaints there. It would be amazing if it happened.
No doubt about it. 8 p.m., MLS Live, Saturday night. Dallas and Portland, probably the best matchup of the weekend. Columbus NYCFC is just before that one, so you have to dual box this one on MLS Live, 7:30 p.m. Eastern for that one. A clash of two teams that like to play out of the back, like to play with the ball, keep it on the ground, hold on to possession. That's all well and good. This one's going to be really fun to watch, I fully expect, and I will tell you when I don't think games are going to be that fun. I'm going to be honest about that. But I want to talk about Kakuta Mane, because we finally got a little bit more insight into this. Andrew King on MLS Soccer reporting that basically that Berhalter had pointed previously to lack of fitness as an issue, but this week said that it was Mane's performances in training that needed to improve, and that's why he wasn't on the field. Mane, of course, had said, look, I think I'm 90-minute fit to play the game anywhere in the world. I've been fit since I've got here. Also says he doesn't think Berhalter trusts him just yet. This is a little bit bizarre, Doyle, especially considering the price they paid for Kakuta Mane, and even more so considering the fact this is the last year of his contract. You would think that Crew SC, while extremely focused on winning games and putting the right players on the field, would be looking at this situation and their outlay and trying to make Kakuta Mane as comfortable as possible. It feels bizarre right now what's going down in the press.
It does. I did not expect this to happen, and credit to Crew SC for having the talent on the wings to handle trading for a guy like Mane and then benching him. They have Nico Hansen, who's been very good as a rookie, and obviously Ethan Finlay and Justin Miram, who's been best 11 caliber. So they can, if Greg Berhalter needs to send a message, he can, and that's what he's doing right now. Mane is so talented and so good that he should be able to play through this, that he should be able to win his job back and then keep it. It'll be a worry, I think, for his career and for the hopes that U.S. national team fans have for him if he can't do that, because there's no guarantee that his next coach, if there is a next coach, is going to view him any differently.
It doesn't smell right to me. I think Mane was ready to go. He's there. I think Greg Berhalter, we've heard about his control, the way he likes to have guys kind of in his mold on his terms, and that's what it sounds like to me. I don't know why they traded for him in the first place then, but look what happened to Tony Chani. That guy was pretty talented, and now he's gone, and, you know, he didn't fit in whatever, and he's going to end up starting in Vancouver and having the rest of his MLS career be successful. I mean,
the flip side is that Greg Berhalter did get out of Tony Chani, a guy who had been inconsistent, one of the best number 8 seasons in the league in 2015. So maybe this is a motivational technique. Maybe this is a, hey, Kakuta, you've been given an awful lot with Vancouver. You have expectations. And Kakuta said it. I expect to be on the field. Well, throw your expectations out the window. come in here, earn it. We've got talented players, as Doyle said, in these positions. We'll continue to be successful with or without you. Going back to it, though, it's just that outlay. It's the trade. It's the amount of resources they gave away. It's a situation worth watching right
now. Also, the successful part's debatable. I mean, they lost last week. They had a good start to the season, but they have more games played than everyone else. That's why they're on top of the rankings. They don't look dominant. They're not back to they were 2 years ago. They're better. Obviously, he can't play center back, so he's not going to fix all those issues. But the fact that they'd be successful without him is debatable right now.
Yeah, we'll see
what
happens.
They lost last week, but the two of their key players got injured.
Yeah.
That's part of it. The other part is that nobody wins at Red Bull Arena.
Ooh.
Well, they got an 18-game home unbeaten streak, and they haven't given up a goal in 2017 at home.
Are you watching the games, Doyle? Are you just looking at the stats?
The stats.
Right.
The stats.
No, I mean, I think it's – I don't know. I agree with you that there's something – fishing going on here. And like, look, if they do lose at home, then you start to think, okay, what's going on, Greg? But I think that taking last week as a really definitive indicator is a little bit of a stretch.
A bunch more games on Saturday night for you to watch. Minnesota hosting San Jose. I will throw it out there. Maybe won't be the most entertaining, or Minnesota might run San Jose off the field.
Yeah.
They might. That's at 8 p.m. on MLS Live. 8:30 p.m. is Sporting KC RSL, which is a pretty good. That's a pretty good rivalry. I know people still doubt that sometimes when it comes to rivalries, but it is one that has a lot of bad blood, and there's still guys around, Roger Espinoza, who Kyle Beckerman, who hold on to this thing. Also, Dom Dwyer at WWE. Go check that out. I think also there's a By the Way coming with Susanna Collins on that on MLSsoccer.com. Seattle, New England, that promises to be entertaining. Saturday, 10 p.m. Eastern on MLS Live. All the coverage, everything you need to know at MLSsoccer.com. Let's get to Kevin Baxter, because the Galaxy and Union have what I called, and look, it was a little bit tongue-in-cheek, the Garbage Bowl on Saturday night. It finishes off the night, 10:30 Eastern. You can watch on MLS Live. He's on the phone now, KBaxter11 on Twitter, writing for the LA Times about the LA Galaxy. Kevin, how's it going, man?
All right, how are you guys?
We're doing good. We're doing good, and we're doing better than the Galaxy, I guess. That's the best way to put it. Give us a little bit of a taste. What's going on out there?
Well, the Galaxy have really struggled, and they've struggled in a couple of different ways. One thing they've lacked is momentum. They haven't won consecutive games all season, obviously. They've only won two, and both wins came against 10-man teams. So, that's not helping their confidence. Their game against Seattle last weekend was by far their worst of the season, and it appears to be a team just sort of untethered. I mean, it's like one of those things where there's no there. And so it makes it hard to know, how do you fix this? Where do you build? How do you build on the few positives there has been? It's just that the team seems unmoored right now.
What is the reaction right now from the fans? What's the conversation around the LA Galaxy?
Well, the fans booed the Galaxy off the field at halftime against Seattle. They're trailing 3-0, and I've never heard the fans boo the Galaxy at home. By the way, speaking of at home, the Galaxy have already lost 3 games and 4 tries at home. The last 2 seasons combined, they lost 3 games. So this is, you can understand why the fans would feel that way. They've never seen anything like this before, a team playing this poorly at StubHub Center.
Kevin, the Galaxy knew that it was a transition. Was the expectation, though, what was the expectation of what the first half of this season, or in general, what this season should look like? New coach, new stars, new core?
Well, part of the problem was they got off to a bad start because of injuries. They started the season missing 5 starters, and they didn't have a lot of depth. They knew that going in. It was going to be a mix of some really cagey veterans like Kane Jones and Yella Van Damme and Ashley Cole, and they were going to help bring along some of these younger players like Nathan Smith, for example. But Nathan Smith has started at right back since the second game, and these guys were kind of thrown in there. Maybe, I don't want to say a little bit unprepared, but the team's playing going into the end of the season wasn't to play a lot of the young players. It was to have a lot of the young players observe and get some playing time late in games. That whole strategy was thrown out the window with the injuries. And so the Galaxy have never really been where they wanted to be at the start of the season. And now we're, 7 games in.
All the onus has got to be on the stars, Kevin. I mean, that's the deal with the Galaxy. Yes, they're going USL. Yes, they're going with the Academy, and they've invested so much there. But it's the Giovanni Dos Santoses of the world. It's the Yella Van Dammes. It's the Jermaine Jones. It's the Giassi Zardeses, who's just coming back from injury. I mean, we haven't seen enough production. What's going on with these big-time players? What are they saying in the locker room? How do they get turned around?
Well, The locker room, it's interesting you bring that up because there does seem to be a lot of dissension in the locker room. There seems to be some communication problems on the field. One of the things we saw against Seattle was players openly yelling at one another. Jermaine Jones and Yella Von Dam were two, and there's been some friction between those two all season, and those are two of your big leaders. They need to be on the same page. Jermaine doesn't like the fact that Yella continues to push forward in the offense, and that's left the team open to counterattacks. And so there's been some dissension there. I think one of the real concerns about what happened last week was Kurnanoffo made two substitutions, and neither player shook his hand as they came off the field. Now, you may have a disagreement with the manager, but, I mean, in public, to simply walk past his outstretched hand, it's a real violation, as you know, of soccer etiquette. But as far as the problems on the field, it all seems to be in the midfield. Jermaine Jones and the new midfielder, the holding midfielder, João Pedro from Portugal, they simply have not been on the same page all season. And that's hurt because they haven't been able to get the ball from the back line to the front. So Giassi's artist is up front by himself, not getting the ball. Gio is not serving as that sort of relay point either. Gio seems to, as the game progresses, seems to move further and further back to the point where he's almost playing holding midfielder by the end of the game. And Roman Alessandrini is pushed into that spot. So it just seems like it seems as if nobody is really absolutely sure what their role is. And they're certainly not aggressively seeking that. Gio needs to push forward. He needs to be in front of the central midfielders. They need to get him the ball, and he needs them to turn around and get it to Jassy's artist. None of that has happened. You know, the Galaxy have one goal from a forward this year. It was a penalty kick in the opening game. No goals from a forward in the run of play. And this is a team with forwards named Jassy's artist, Giovanni Dos Santos, Jack McBean, now Jack McInerney. No goals from a forward. That's almost inconceivable.
Really tough right now for the Galaxy. They take on the Union on Saturday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern on MLS Live. Of course, the Union, you know as well as I do, going through tough times. Last one for you here, Kevin. Where is this pressure crystallizing? You mentioned those incidents with Kurnanoffo. Is he on the hot seat at all?
I think he is, and I'm not going to say it's totally his fault. I mean, I think what happened, the lack of a game plan against Seattle and the lack of a reaction to what Seattle was obviously doing was a real black mark. But I think the dissension in the dressing room, or what appears to be dissension, you know, the lack of respect for him on the sidelines over the weekend, I think, was really troubling. But the bigger point is, if you have 28 players who are not on the same page, who are not playing well together, it becomes the coach's fault, even when it isn't, because you can't fire 28 players. The Galaxy are committed to this academy program. They're committed to a new way of doing things. But right now, it's not working. And so it's interesting. Are they going to give him time to turn this around? Or is the front office going to feel the pressure to make this thing work immediately and to get the fans on board? And the best way to do that, or the easiest way to do that, I would say, might be to fire the coach. And it's not necessarily fair, because Kurnanoffo has not played 1 minute this year.
A big game this weekend for the LA Galaxy. Got to get things back on track. 10:30 p.m. Eastern on Saturday night against the Union. You can watch on MLS Live. You can follow Kevin Baxter on Twitter, KBaxter11, for all that LA Galaxy coverage and more. Kevin, thank you so much for your time, man.
Thank you.
Wouldn't you know it, we got a ton of voicemails about the LA Galaxy in the Hot Take Hotline. Let's go there now. We'll see you on the other side of the break.
Fans, we want to hear from you. You're encouraged to email extratime at mlssoccer.com or tweet at extratime radio with any comments, questions, or reactions.
Back now on Extra Time Radio, hanging out in the Blue Room, David Goss and I, Matt, the armchair analyst, out in the octagon, probably with cats crawling all over him. Let's get into the Hot Take Hotline, 401-206-0MLS. I wish I could think of another one, but it's like muscle memory. It's repetition, man. I get on the bike and I just ride. Other people, though, are getting on their own bikes and riding, including, Dave, one Alexi Lawless, who apparently has just a whole lot of time on his hands, because he sent us a jingle.
Hot Take Hotline, 401-206-0MLS. Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, look, his pipes are way better than mine. I got to throw that out there.
That's pretty good. Like, that feels
high,
like
production value.
The intro to like a Cheap Trick song or something like that. I'm down with that.
Yeah,
good job, Alexi.
Yeah, it's pretty good. He had, actually, there's two other jingles he sent us. We could only play one because we had so many others. I mean, we have an embarrassment of riches when it comes to jingles. Can you guide us in here? Because
yeah.
I think Cheap Trick might have inspired some others.
Doyle's about to get excited. Are you ready?
Yeah, let's do it.
To dream the impossible dream, to leave the hottest hot take of all, as a voicemail played on Extra Time Radio. Well, now you have a number to call. 401-206-0MLS, hot take hotline, but keep it short,
yes.
Or you won't make the podcast.
Exactly. That was exactly what I was looking. That was like a perfect collision of your interests, Dave.
Yeah.
Soccer and Broadway, and he's 100% right.
Leave it. Keep it short.
Keep it short.
That was my favorite part, for
keep
sure.
It short. Otherwise, we can't play it because we can't give you like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
That was brilliant. And that we have more?
Yeah, he sent us actually
another
one.
Wait a minute. Weeby, do you know what show that was?
Oh, God, no way. Dave, you got this?
Yeah, of course I do. Actually, we should say Abner Sev is the one who set up this hotline, and his favorite Broadway show is Les Mis, and that is from Les Mis, and it made it perfect.
Woo! Yeah, congratulations to that guy. That is an epic. That every single week, I'm just even more happy about us setting this hotline.
Doyle, what show tune would you want repurposed for a hotline theme song? Let's see if we can get someone out there to do it.
Oh, Schadenfreude from Avenue
Q. Unreal song.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
If someone repurposes an Avenue Q song for this,
it's making it.
It's making it for sure.
What else we got?
Well, I'm here to remind you of the ETR Hot Take Hotline.
Oh, my God.
The number is 401-206-0MLS. You, I don't know.
Oh,
there you go. I had
God
to tone that one down so it didn't blow people's ears out.
God bless every single one of you listening to this show and also calling it a Hot Take Hotline. That was scary and awesome and falsetto and everything that I could possibly want from the weirdness that we find.
We have one more. This is the fourth one. So when people are sending in votes for which one they like the best and which one we should use again, this is number four.
Call Extra Time Radio. It's the best. 401-206-0MLS. What's up, guys? Hopefully this is the right number because it sounds like it's disconnected.
I just love the fact that he sang into a voicemail that he thought potentially was the wrong phone number.
Yeah, that's pretty classic. Like, I don't know. I might as well. Might as well just sing it in. You never get a second chance.
If you vote number one, you're voting for Alexi Lawless's high production value.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, you'd be voting for Les Mis. Number three, I don't think anyone's going to vote for that because I don't think anyone can hear that again. I've had to hear it like four times.
I don't know.
Yikes.
Sorry.
God, Weeby.
And number four.
To have fun out here.
And number four is that jingle.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'm voting for the sorry, Alexi, I love yours. The Les Mis one, though, like the guy, it came from his heart. I could just feel it. I could feel that he has hot takes in him. He may not be the king of takes like Ben Bear, who is making an argument that he should be a permanent Hot Take Hotline commentator. Let us know what you think about that. Feel free to fire in the hot takes on his hot take that he should be permanent on this segment.
Well, I'd like to say that he's come very slow and cold on his argument that he should be.
Yeah, it's not,
which really
hot.
Doesn't inspire
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's pretty lukewarm.
Doyle, which of the jingles you go with?
I think it's a coin flip between one and two. I'm a big fan of both Cheap Trick and Les Mis, so it's, you know, I'd be happy with either one.
Well, we let the fans decide. So
yeah.
Email us, tweet at us, feel free to call. I think at this point, you already know the phone number.
If you come into the Hot Take Hotline with a hot take on one of the hot take jingles, you'll make it.
Yeah.
You'll make it. I'm just telling you that right now.
And by the way, an example of what a hot take is, here is part of the choir that we had call in for Joe Bendick for U.S. National Team.
Hi. Here's a Lion fan. You can call me the Giant Purple Lion. I was wondering, Joe Bendick has had an amazing year. Even going back to stretching back to last year, he's had some phenomenal saves, some amazing games. He had the most saves out of any MLS keeper last year, but he had the most goals. But that's also because our defense was in the toilet. Do you think that that Joe Bendick deserves a national team call-up because everyone in the state of Florida believes he does.
So to prove that,
hey,
we have this.
Hey, guys. This is Phil from Brandon giving you guys a call. Joe Bednick is going to be on the Gold Cup roster, and he will overtake Tim Howard as the starting goalkeeper for Team USA.
Everyone in Florida thinks Joe Bendick is the national team.
That's a pretty hot take, that he's going to overtake Tim Howard. I mean, Doyle, I heard you praising him. I've been on the fence with Joe Bendick. I know he's a solid MLS goalkeeper. I know he wins like every single Save of the Week award because those same folks in Orlando and Florida just stuffed the ballot. Does he have a chance of pushing his way into the national team?
Well, I think he's been the best goalkeeper in MLS this year. That's a pretty good argument right there. He's in the prime of his career. He's been a starter for a few years. I thought at this time last year, he was a guy who made the spectacular saves, but was less focused than he needed to be on some of the nuts and bolts, when to come off his line, his distribution, command of the box. He has tightened all of that up. He's one of the biggest reasons that that team has only one loss. I'm not going to say I'd be disappointed, but like I would like to see him on the Gold Cup roster for sure.
We had talked to Kevin Baxter about the LA Galaxy. You would not be surprised the amount of phone calls we got about the LA Galaxy. One of them including thinking Carlos Ruiz should take over as head coach.
Yes,
of the
Escudito
LA Galaxy
for some sort of role front-facing in MLS somewhere.
So,
I don't care what it is.
For some reason, I enjoyed this rant, so this is going to be our LA Galaxy rant that we'll be playing.
Yeah, hi. Just would like to add a comment to the LA Galaxy woos. You know, they opt to go with this youth movement, and they're relying on the academy to help push that movement. I think the first problem is I don't think we have that talented of players from the academy to do that. The Varios, the McBeans, these guys have been around a long time, and they haven't really done anything. Jack McBean had multiple opportunities to crack that lineup. He hasn't scored. I think we're in trouble. The pairings of Dos Santos and Zardes are just not happening. The team has no star power. So you go from having three of the biggest names in the sport to none. Dos Santos, I think, has been a bust. I tried to make it clean and not use any colorful language, so hopefully this works.
He did. He avoided the language, and that's what you should do as well. Keep them fairly short if they're good. We're playing.
Well, I cut down about 40 seconds
really?
Off that. That's why it was a rant, because it was like literally everything popped
into his head. How many other rants do we have?
Well, he just went to center backs and full backs and the central midfield, and it was like, yeah, I'm pretty sure you have an issue with the whole team.
Well, that's kind of indicative right now, huh? There's problems back to front.
Doyle, the kids. Mm-hmm. We've talked about them for a while. This is supposed to be their opportunity. Nathan Smith's getting a little bit of playing time. Daniel Starris is in the starting lineup. Is that the issue?
I don't think the issue is that they're not talented enough. I don't think they've been developed particularly well. They've had chances, the Galaxy have, to turn over meaningful minutes to these kids from time to time, and they haven't taken those chances. One of the reasons Curtinoffel was hired, I think, was because he was familiar with the kids and was supposed to be the one to coach them up. That hasn't happened. At some point, obviously, the blame does go to the players themselves. And let's not – I shouldn't call them kids. They're all grown men at this point. They have to take the game more seriously or be more professional. And from what I understand, that hasn't necessarily happened. But a good organization will look at that and then find a mirror and look at themselves. Because if you have as much talent as the Galaxy do in Southern California and you're not getting consistent high-level starters out of that, something is going wrong systemically.
Let's listen to a hot take. Worrying about the future for the LA Galaxy.
Hey guys, this is Josh Lafferty, longtime crew fan, called in a few weeks ago about the LA Galaxy Stadium bringing in the Chargers. 2 or 3 weeks ago, I almost called in, and for the past couple weeks, I've almost called in, but I decided not to, and now I'm kicking myself. This is going to be happening. This isn't just a hot take. This is something that's guaranteed to happen, so the sooner it happens, the better. Kurt Anulfo is completely ruining and deteriorating anything that Bruce Arena built in L.A., and if they don't fix it soon, they're going to be the little brother to LAFC, and that's going to be forever. Robert Garcia, Columbus Crew coach, ruined Siggy Schmidt's legacy. Jeff Cassar, same thing at RSL when he followed Christ. Thanks, guys.
You know, I'm not sure that they ruined legacies. I think that's more part and parcel of what MLS is, right? Is that when you build a super successful team, it's super hard to keep that team intact. So you have to make changes, and that's rife and fraught with risk in MLS. And didn't Robert Arzija, with that squad, have a pretty good year following up after Siggy Schmidt left? Jeff Cassar did the same, pretty good, although they were in transition. I'm not sure that Bruce Arena's legacy is in any danger at all. Bruce Arena's legacy with the Galaxy, to me, is locked down. It's done. He won a bunch of titles. He turned around the Beckham years. He brought in Robbie Keane and turned him into the best DP this league has ever seen. So I'm not sure that's the case. What I will say is that it's really difficult to take over from a legend and keep the ball rolling in this league, especially with the cap constraints and the different issues that you have with player intake and outtake. So that's my take.
Let's roll on with a good old Portland Timbers fan who crawled out from under a bridge to make fun of LA fans.
What's up, guys? This is Ben from Beaverton. I'd prefer not to be known as Ben the Timbers troll. But anyways, I was thinking about ways to help the LA Galaxy after Monday's show. I think I got a little bit of a plan. If they're looking to bolster their defense, why not give some of the veterans a shot? Somebody like Antonio Gates could really help him out. He's huge. He's got experience. He knows how to go up and get a ball. If you're looking to spread the ball around a little bit more, why not give Philip Rivers a shot? The guy has a great track record. He's a proven leader. And he's got the attitude of a LA Galaxy player for sure. Well, see you later.
You know what? Philip Rivers, probably the diagonal balls. I bet pretty good with
there
those. Distribution out of that midfield area.
That was troll work 101
maybe
right there.
Give him like a 4 or 5 step drop. He'll probably hit stuff on the money.
If you start a phone call with, I don't want to be known as the troll guy, it means you're about to troll someone.
Right, right. That's the original Timbers troll, yeah?
I don't know what
Timbers
that means.
Troll is going to troll. There was another, I think the same guy who called in and trolled, I think, Sounders fans. Yeah, I think that's why he was saying, I don't want to be known as this, because he's becoming
known as
that.
One of the keys about hot takes is you're supposed to dump them from your memory the moment after you hear them.
Yeah.
So I struggled to latch on to them.
Okay.
Let's finish up with one more. Philly LA playing on Saturday. Philly needs a win just as much as LA. Here we get a little bit of Duke fan.
Hey, what's up, ETR? This is Glenn in Mannheim. That's Mannheim in Pennsylvania, not Germany. I'm calling about this dude who calls in from California last week. And he says the Union are going to go out and get stomped by the Galaxy, and the Galaxy are going to get right. That ain't going to happen. Here's what's going to happen. Union are going to get right. Richie Marquez, playing in front of his hometown fans, is going to have a goal in a monster game at center back. Galaxy's going to lose. And oh, Galaxy, Frank Gallup's going to be your coach by the end of next week. Peace.
Peace. Like we didn't know Mannheim was in Pennsylvania. What kind of uncultured, uncouth, terrible soccer commentators do you think that we are? He's probably on the right track.
He was
probably on the right track there.
We didn't really preview the game because we talked to Kevin. Nuts and bolts, what do you guys think happens in this one?
Doyle, I'm going to throw this one to you, obviously. Obviously.
I'm not sure. I think there are going to be changes to the lineups on both sides. You know, the default in MLS is always to pick the home team to win. So I think that's what I'll probably do with the Galaxy. I still think that the forward pairing, Gazardes and Dos Santos, can cause real problems. But the Galaxy midfield has to do a better job of getting them the ball early and in spots where they can do real work. So I think the Galaxy will be able to take advantage of a pretty shoddy Philly defense.
Yeah, I'm with Matt on the results side, but we didn't really talk about Kevin Baxter's kind of the points he was making there. And the one that was a little bit surprising to me that I wasn't completely in the know on was the locker room kind of squabbling between some of those veterans. I mean, you see on their, you know, LA Galaxy, great social media game. I know I've gone back to that. But you see, like, oh, there's Jermaine Jones and Yellow Van Damme, like, palling around, good old friends. But, like, to hear that they're not on the same page and they're being vocal about it, it's early, man. It's really early to have that sorts of, like, public division. That doesn't bode very well. They got to get those guys pulling in the same direction, understanding what each other does on the field and how they can help each other. I mean, the fact of the matter is both are notorious freelancers in positions in which it's tough to freelance and have success. So we got to figure it out.
Hilarious that Jermaine Jones' issue with Yelly Van Damme's play is that he thinks he freelances too much and leaves them open to counter.
You're
attacks.
Too adventurous, all right? Like, pot.
Only one
kettle.
Guy gets to be adventurous.
There's
on
only one
team.
Pot in this midfield. Keep the kettle out of it.
But I think even you look at Yelly Van Damme, who was there last year, but who's the leader that's going to bring this all together? And that's one of the issues right now is who's the big voice? It's not Zardes. It's probably not Dos Santos.
I mean, that's the thing. They brought Jermaine Jones in to be that leader and to be that big voice and to make it his team. And Jermaine has always had a problem with other players freelancing. He had a problem with Raul. He thought that when Raul came to Schalke, Raul should have been sort of put in the box, and Jermaine is the one who should have had the entirely free role. It's kind of predictable. I don't think they did a great job putting this team together. I don't think they did a great job putting this roster together.
Well, we talked about Columbus before, and Doyle said that I wasn't paying attention to the game on the Columbus side. Now at least we have a New York Red Bull fan on the other side.
What's up, boys? Bill Carroll, Section 132. I got two hot takes for you. First one is Dak's coming back to Red Bull Arena. We know that he's not going to celebrate when he scores a goal, but can we, the fans? I think we can, but we have to have two restrictions on ourselves. First is we can only celebrate his first goal, and that goal must come in the first half. It can't be the game winner in the 90th minute. We still need to win. So I'm hoping for a 3-1 Red Bull victory with Dax getting a goal in the 15th minute. My next hot take is for Dave. You don't think Red Bull played good last week? Are you watching the game or just looking at the stats?
Well said.
Take care, boys.
You know
Bill
what?
Carroll, he always hits it on the head.
Yeah, but you know what?
Bill
Dave,
Carroll's a legend.
You have created a catchphrase.
Oh, God. You should hear
what
happens in my apartment with that catchphrase.
Oh,
it
yeah?
is used more often than it
what's
has it, to be.
What's the best use outside the game of soccer?
It doesn't even matter. Oh, I thought I ordered the food. Sorry. Let me click order on Seamless. Are you even watching the order, or are you just looking at the stats? It's like that all the time.
Oh, it's you know what? I'd be proud of that if I was you.
To have a catchphrase?
Yeah, you got a catchphrase. People are all about it.
I don't even remember saying it live, by the way.
But, you can just mark down basically everything I say.
So I can throw this shade on both teams. Bill Carroll, what Columbus team did you beat? Arthur went down 2 minutes in. You scored off a penalty kick. You scored off a mess of a set piece. They had no center backs on that team. On the flip side, what was it for Columbus? They lost 2 weeks ago at Chicago. They didn't look very good. They beat Toronto, and then they lost at New York, so they've also not looked good. Boom. Just
Wait
put down
what,
two fan bases.
What was the mess of a set piece that they scored on?
No, the Alex Muhl goal.
That wasn't a set piece. That was like a 10-pass buildup.
No, I don't even remember that goal. No. I just remember the finish.
Tried to come hot.
David, are you watching the game, or are you just looking at stats?
At the stats. God,
I hope
that
becomes the
right.
new intro.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, we thank you for listening. We had a great time with this one. Big thanks to Michael Parkhurst for calling in. I you know what? My rent's pretty high here. I'd be willing to move to Atlanta if I could live in that training facility.
I just have to add two things to this mailbag. Tim Schwartz on Twitter says too many lukewarm takes in the hot take hotline. Stadium takes should get priority but not guarantees.
Amen. Amen. I'm back and I'm saying no guarantees. You got to come hot with it. You got to be entertaining. It can't just be you singing about how you're at the game.
D. Lucas says, no more voicemail segments, please.
No more voicemail segments. Yeah. Sorry, D. Lucas. Ain't going to happen for you, man. That's a hot take that we will not honor on this show. Big thanks to Kevin Baxter. Big thanks, as I said, to Michael Parkhurst. And big thanks, as always, to you guys. David Goss, Matt Doyle, I'm Andrew Wiebe. We'll see you around next time.
You're listening to Extra Time Radio. We'll be right back.